what's up, everybody? We're the Flippin' Flippers. I'm Co, and today I have...
Cole.
So...
Cole and Cole.
This is going to be fun. Paul is supposed to be recording with me right now, but he's MIA.
Dirtbag.
So I'm like going down the list in my phone book, calling people.
And you started with me, obviously, and I picked up, so you didn't have to go any further.
That's right, buddy.
Obviously.
So how you doing, Cole?
Deeply offended. Awesome.
Good. Oh, and now Ryan Poole is calling me on the other line. I don't want to talk to him now. I'm going to hang up on that guy.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Screw him. How you been, Cole?
So I actually have guitar-related things happening to me. Well,
at the like at this very second?
Me, but just at the, in the last hour or so, I had talked. So Josh Spataro.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, I believe so. Righteous Sound Pickups.
Of Righteous Sound Pickups. I thought I got wide range humbuckers on my Fellows guitar, mm-hmm. made by Righteous Sound. I had also had a stacked P90 in my Equits.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And so I figured that was a good way to go. I had to send them back to them because I thought they were out of phase. I honestly don't know. I could just be an idiot. But I had to make me some jazz bass sized pickups.
Really?
But P bass sounding pickups.
Okay.
And he sent me some pictures today. Apparently he's sending them out tomorrow. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And they look pretty rad. They're basically two independent coils, you know, but like end to end inside of a jazz bass.
Interesting.
You know, pickup cover, I guess.
Yeah.
Rather than being kind of staggered or whatever. So
I was thinking about doing something like that at one point on, you know, that Ibanez semi-hollow bass I got?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's got like a soap bar humbucker looking thing in there.
Uh-huh,
and I was
yep.
thinking about seeing if somebody could rewind that for me into a P-bass sounding pickup.
And that sounds like the type of thing that he could do. But
great.
I'm pretty excited.
Another
I have
reason
this,
to spend money.
Exactly. I have this Geddy Lee jazz bass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super, I just love the way the neck is like super skinny, even more than a normal jazz bass. And it's the one that has like a maple fretboard with block inlays and
yeah,
it's bound and everything. And I just prefer the way P bass pickups sound, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure like, I know I'm a terrible bassist and I know very little about bass, but I just like the way they sound better. So.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So, exactly.
So
that's
pretty cool.
So yeah. What's new with you?
Not a lot new on my end of things. I don't know if I've talked to you about it. I've mentioned it on our show. I know you don't listen. It's fine.
I do periodically.
Periodically. Okay, that's fair. I do the same with you. So
yeah, exactly.
But I am working towards getting a Whale Hazard made. So that's where all my money is going right now, is towards that.
Okay, and let's pretend for the listener that they don't know what a Whale Hazard is. I obviously do.
Whale Hazard is one of the guitar brands I had on one day. He has had stuff. Andy just did a demo of one of his guitars. He had stuff at, I want to say it was the Chase Bliss booth. At NAMM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. And now that sounds familiar, because I remember one of the Chase Bliss guitars, like, really standing out in my mind as being very cool.
Yeah, he does some really, like, intricate, awesome inlay work.
Oh, okay.
And his attention to detail is pretty magnificent.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So where are you in the process?
I am on the list. And,
okay.
And making payments, so.
And what does that mean? Like, so he hasn't, so you're still like waiting to get to where he's actually starting to build yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
And part of that, I think, is also, I mean, he and I have been talking about it for a long time. And so it's just finally happening and I'm starting to accumulate money to put towards it, so.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know, like, boutique builders, for every one person that actually has money they're willing to put up, there's like 100 people that are like, oh, I absolutely have to get one of your guitars or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's how I've been. I feel bad because that's how I've talked about getting an Equitz bass for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just never actually done it. And Kevin is kind of the same way with me, where it's like, well, and you know, he has like a super long waiting list too.
Yeah.
At this point, but he's like, well, if you should quit talking about it and actually put some money down. You know?
Yeah.
So, well, it's exciting, man.
Yeah. And it got to play with Gowers, Rayburn. I know you missed out on the Rayburn party.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's right.
So what's your honest opinion of the Evertune?
The Evertune system? It's cool. I could definitely see how it makes sense. When I was talking to Jonathan about the F3, I asked him, I'm like, hey, so what do you think? Maybe we could put an Evertune in mine. And I think if I remember right, he hung up the phone on me. I don't.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'll tell you where you can put an Evertune.
Yeah. So I was considering getting it. I mean, if it wasn't such an expensive, like, aftermarket thing to put into a guitar,
yeah,
I would consider putting it in somewhere.
In a factory guitar, it's not like an insane upcharge,
right?
Because the guitar was made for it. But like, for a builder who's never done one before, like, I can't imagine. Kevin must have spent so much more time on that than he probably expected to, or certainly than he got paid for, I would think, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I'm sure there's a learning curve at first, is what I'm saying. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, I would think that, you know, Evertune themselves would probably provide, like, some pretty solid
templates
and instructions. But who knows? Because I know that they do the mod also for people. So maybe they wouldn't want to give away too much of that business. I don't know.
Yeah, but, yeah, I wonder. Or I don't even – that's, like, that might be one of those things where it's the type of business – they aren't necessarily looking to get.
Yeah.
Like, they just as soon sell the part and not deal with all the labor.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that there's way more margin for them just to sell it. Like,
totally.
Who was it that put out, like, there's a few different companies that have models now that's standard. I'm like, they probably love that. They just crank out the unit and ship it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like when there's like a Bigsby or like Goto stuff on a guitar. It's like, yeah, every one they sell, we just put our crap on it and make money.
Yeah.
But it's probably just not worth it for me because I don't I've never really had tuning stability issues on my guitars because I don't play super hard and, you know, and I'm not very good. So it probably does go out of tune and I just don't notice it, you know?
Yeah. Real quick. I'm gonna bust in. Break the flow of this conversation real quick. Just
go for it.
Read you. I just got a text message from Melissa, Paul's wife.
Okay.
And she says, is Paul supposed to be doing a podcast tonight with you? Should I go wake him up?
He's nothing if not committed to this podcast. I mean, nobody can question his level of commitment.
Yeah. Oh, that is amazing.
That's pretty hilarious because now it's like, yeah, he obviously should be there, but then it's like, I feel bad waking the guy up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's already, what, 9 o'clock there? Or no, after 10 o'clock, almost 10:30.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And I know that dude don't sleep, so.
Yeah. That is hilarious.
Oh, I'm not going to let him live that one down.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you almost, like, you don't want to have her wake him up because then you have more that you can, like, hang over his head.
Oh, it's going to be great. He's going to wake up in the morning and go, oh, crap. And then there's just going to be an episode published.
He's going to have all these messages from you, like, so waiting for you, dude.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Love it. I love it. But so what are you doing pedal-wise these days? You got anything fun happening that you're playing around with, enjoying?
Well, I finally got this prototype. So Sean Wright, Lollygagger,
mm-hmm.
sent this prototype pedal to Aaron Abubo, Gear Slim fame.
Yeah.
And for me.
I've heard of that guy.
Yeah. One thing he's not good at is shipping pedals when he's supposed to.
I've heard.
So it's pretty funny because Sean actually. So I had a pedal that Sean was lending me, and so did Aaron. And then we were supposed to send them to each other. So I sent Aaron's to him like over a month ago. And Sean knew that. And Sean messaged me at one point and was like, "Hey, I'm a little nervous because I haven't heard your thoughts on that pedal. It makes me wonder if you don't like it or something like that." And I was like, "I haven't received a pedal." And he's like, "What? Aaron said he sent it like 3 weeks ago." So
that's awesome.
In typical Aaron fashion, but in typical me fashion, maybe I haven't even plugged it in yet. I got it like yesterday or the day before.
A couple days is reasonable, I think.
Yeah. So I need to plug it in and mess around with it. I'll tell you what though, the pedal I've used the most lately is the Dispatch Master.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been, when I go play with my band, I've just been taking my little, like tick sized pedal board, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I have a Bubbletron on there and a Dispatch Master, the Earthquaker, like delay and reverb. Like it's pretty simple. Do you know the Dispatch Master?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. So it's a super, like, I don't know. It's one of those pedals that just sounds great. It's not like, doesn't do anything crazy, but
right.
Every time you turn it on,
it sounds
good. You know, the other guys in the band are like, "Oh, that's not, what are you doing there? That sounds good." and what they're really saying is like, "Oh, you sound acceptable for once. Like you should keep doing whatever you're doing right now, you know?
Not annoying us."
Yeah, exactly. And the Bubbletron is really cool. I've mostly used it on the phaser setting.
Mm-hmm.
It also has like a flanger setting and I can't remember what the third one is. It's like some crazy like envelope filter or something like that.
Okay.
But both of those pedals are great. And I have the Strymon Iridium and that's just my main. I just don't even use amps anymore, basically.
Man, what's that like?
And it's, it's pretty nice for jamming.
You don't really
want to
tell me, but.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the PA speakers I have each weigh like 65 pounds. So
Ugh. It's
like I haven't really like, it's not really a net positive for me.
Yeah.
I'm mostly a singer, so I have to have some kind of PA anyways. But like, yeah, the speakers I have are just insanely heavy.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's really nice. And the Iridium, I like it over. I used to have a Stomp and I still have this Nux or Nuex Solid Studio.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a bunch of other amp sim stuff and the Iridium just sounds amazing. And I like that it basically just has knobs like an amp does, you know?
Yeah.
Knobs for bass, mid and treble and drive and all that. So
that makes sense. I mean, I don't know if you ever met my friend Jury that I used to be in the country band with. But he lives in Nashville now, hardly ever plays guitar because he lives in an apartment, but he's thinking about setting something up again. But he wants like a pretty easy solution, and he doesn't know if he wants to get rid of all of his pedals or not. And I suggested the Stomp to him, but I don't really know anything about it or the Iridium, but I completely spaced and didn't even think of the Iridium when I was talking to him.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Would that be like a better amp replacement, you think, if he wants to keep his pedals?
So, I mean, certainly if he's looking for something simple. I mean, I had multiple times, like, the Stomp, there's just so many things going on. And when you, like, show up to practice or especially for a gig or whatever, it's really easy to, like, at one point, I was just, like, choosing a couple presets and none of them were working. And I realized they all had a volume pedal block. In them, but when you don't have a pedal plugged into the expression input, it just sets them at zero. So I was like getting no sound, and it was, you know, I'm like checking the cables to make sure they're good and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, and granted, like, that's totally, like, I fully accept that that's user error and that's my fault. But, like, I'd like to have things that keep me from as much user error as possible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the pod, I'd probably choose a Pod Go over a Stomp.
Oh, really?
Any day right now, yeah. Partially because it's simpler. I mean, it's like a downside to it, I guess. But basically, every patch has the same effect types in the same order.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everyone has a volume pedal and then a compressor and then a drive pedal and then, you know, modulation and delay and reverb.
That would probably make sense for him. He bought all of his pedals like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And hasn't bought anything since. And one of his favorite pedals he has is like this Zoom unit that has like three, you can pick three pedals in that are in its, you know, catalog or whatever, but it's same thing. It's the same types that you can choose in the order. So that might make sense
and
for
it's,
him.
And it's kind of nice because every, like, no matter where you are, you can always see the screen of which effects are on and off. And
mm-hmm.
it's pretty cool. And actually I was kind of surprised at how small it is. My brother got one. And
I say, wait a minute. You're related to somebody that works there, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we're going to disregard all of this.
The funny thing is, like, well, whatever. Like, I shouldn't say this publicly, but, like, our first year at NAMM, I was kind of, like, proud to have this hookup, you know? And mm-hmm. so it's my cousin's husband. And he's the product manager for all of Helix. So he's like, in fact, he even does like some of the demos himself. So like a few of the early Stomp demos are just him recording them himself. Cause he's like, nobody understands it as well as I do. So I'll just do it myself.
Yeah.
So like at the first NAMM, he had me sign an NDA and I saw these cool, like I actually knew about the Stomp way before it was announced, you know? And, but then it's like he has zero interest in, I don't know, staying in touch with me or telling me anything about Line 6 stuff. The Stomp I bought, I just, like, bought retail, you know.
Yeah.
It's myself. Any Line 6 stuff I have, I've just bought myself. So it's kind of like, I don't know. In some ways, it could be a cool hookup, but it hasn't turned out to be that way. And I'm sure, like, and I'm certainly not going to badger him about it, but, you know, because that's the last thing I want to do is be that guy. But at any rate, so yes, that's what I would say about the Pod Go. But honestly, if he just wants an amp replacement, I would get an Iridium and call it a day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's not even really sure where he's at with that. But I know he does want to, because he streams on Twitch constantly, so he wants to be able to integrate it into that as well somehow. So.
What is he, like, does he stream video games?
He streams video games. He does IRL type stuff.
Okay.
He actually,
Twitch is so weird.
At one point, he bought an electronic drum set and was like doing lessons online and streaming that on Twitch of him doing lessons with the electronic drums.
So weird.
Yeah. I mean, what to each their own, right?
Well, it's just weird that it's like that's the platform,
right?
Because what I know Twitch for is like it's people playing video games. And maybe there's a little picture of themselves in the corner, but now it's just like anything and everything. It's basically just a live streaming platform, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he also uses that same platform, his same following, to stream his podcast live when they record it that he has, which is Music Row Hideout. They interview like Nashville artists and stuff. It's him and Ryan.
Yeah,
Bull.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Out of Waylon Jennings' basement studio. But
really,
yeah Ryan's studio is in Waylon Jennings' old basement.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So okay, so another question for you, just because why the heck not. You're part of an elite club. You have a Rayburn, you have a Fellows. I have a Rayburn, I have a Fellows. Paul has a Rayburn as a Fellows. So what's our next move? What are we buying? What are we buying next? I'm doing a Whale Hazard. I'm just saying, maybe you need to get on the books.
I basically have been spending my guitar money on hockey stuff lately because that's just what my life is now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we also both have multiple. Well, do you have multiple Ronies?
I only have one Rony.
Okay. Our guitar collections are very similar.
Yes, they are. But Paul doesn't have a Rony, so maybe Paul's the one that needs to catch up.
Maybe I'll sell him one of my Ronies, because I have three.
You have three now?
Yeah, I have two little stinkers.
Oh, that's why. There's a that spalted maple little stinker is on Reverb, and it keeps dropping in price.
I know. There was that blue, like, telly-looking.
The Vireo? Yeah, that one was...
Yeah.
Such, and it was, like, $1,400.
That I was kind of into. I know. I don't even have a telly right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it gone? Did it get sold?
I don't know. I'm trying to, like... And then Andy Kim was selling a couple of his Ronies, but, like, I just don't need more guitars at this point. If anything, I would love to get, because all my basses, well, one of my basses is a Warmoth body with just, like, an American Standard neck, mm-hmm. a jazz bass neck, and the other one is the Geddy Lee one. And for a while there, I was playing more bass than guitar anyways. So I've thought about maybe getting a Fellows bass, because he had that bass at Cowerfest a year ago that was really cool.
And that's what sold you on getting the F3.
Exactly. Yeah, I went there like with every intention of getting a Cower, and I ended up putting money down on a Fellows. And I haven't regretted it for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'd love to have a Cower, but I just, you know, I just love that Fellows guitar.
Good. Is that, so, are you playing it a lot? Not to, like, put you on the spot.
Well, not right now, because my pickups, it has no pickups in it.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
But when until I took the pickups out, that was the main guitar I was playing. Although I still, like, my Equitz is still probably my favorite guitar. It's become very, it's, I don't know. I very much bond with that, and it feels like, I'm trying to think of, like, a non-cheesy way of saying this. But it just feels like the right, you know, especially when I go play with my band.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I know exactly how it's going to behave. It's just a single pickup, just volume and tone. It's very simple. There's not much that can get messed up. It stays in tune, like, perfectly, you know. So so that's still probably my main guitar. But the Fellows is so cool. And it's, like, it's very flashy. I mean, it's not... Flashy maybe isn't the right word, but it's like a very unique body shape. It's bright. Mine is bright white, you know. And so it's a really cool guitar, where my Equitz is more, like, subdued, you know.
Yeah. You're going to fly and under the radar with that one.
A little bit. With what? A hockey ball? Yeah, you can. Sorry.
That's right. I know that, a bass, a nice custom bass is also on my list of things to do. And I already know exactly what I'm going to get. And it's going to be a Sarek Midwestern with the single B90. And I'm going to let him pick the aesthetic, the color,
The
finish, and all that. Yeah. I mean,
have you ever done that on a guitar?
Have I ever done that on a guitar? Kind of. That was kind of what I did for the F3.
Yeah, that's right.
But I wasn't. What's the best way? I wasn't entirely allowed to do that. It was kind of like, you got to make some decisions here, Co.
Yeah. But you trusted him on a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I was. I basically just said I want it to be, I knew I wanted wide range humbuckers. Like, I wanted Lawler Regals in it.
Right.
And for the longest, it was so funny, because I wish that Jonathan had said something sooner, because I was like, yeah, I'd love to get Lala Regals in it, or some other kind of wide range humbucker, like some super fancy deal. Because I played, Andy has a Cower that has Regals in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, yeah, we can do that. Well, if you know, you can just, like, buy them yourself, and then we can knock part of the price off the guitar and blah, blah, blah. And then after a while, I can't remember how it came up.
But that you were the only one not getting Righteous Sounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, somebody mentioned, I can't remember how it came up, but basically, like, Josh used to work for Lawler.
Yeah.
Like, he used to wind Regals and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should do that. And I texted Jonathan and was like, hey, you know, I didn't even think about this. Maybe I'll just get some Righteous Sound wide ranges. And he was like, yeah, that'd be cool, because literally every other guitar in the run has Rex the Sound pickups. And I was like, well, why didn't you say something? Oh, man. Because I totally wasn't trying to be difficult, but I think, you know, when you're a builder, it's hard to know how your customers are going to react to stuff, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd like to think that I wasn't a difficult customer, but who knows? Maybe I was.
I was the difficult one in the batch. It is. You were. It is known. I own up to it.
You're proud of it.
Well, I'm not necessarily proud of it, but Paul and Jonathan never cease to remind me. So. So that's just the way that is.
And I have a Richlite fretboard on mine, which I don't know if it's the only one in the batch.
Yes.
But I told him I just like wanted a black fretboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ebony. And he's like, yeah, we could do Richlite too. And I was like, yeah, sounds great. Let's do it. Because I had a Gibson Midtown Custom that had Richlite. And I think I probably had some others at one time or another. But it's pretty awesome material. I mean, it's basically carbon fiber, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not carbon fiber, but it's like a composite material, kind of.
Yeah, it's like really dense cardboard.
Exactly. So it's like there's no, you don't feel any grain on it. There's no, you know, you don't have to finish it at all. It's completely black.
As I say, what is the maintenance on that? Do you have to oil it or anything, or no?
No, there's none. And I mean, it's basically like epoxy, essentially. It's like, it's a whole bunch of sawdust that they glue together is how I understand it. So no, there's zero maintenance. It never shifts with weather, humidity, or anything like that. So
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, hey man, thank you for picking up the phone.
Yeah, I'll let you go. Sorry if I talk too much.
No, this is perfect. This is perfect. I one more thing to say. Cole Duke.
Calling Cole Duke.
This is Cole.
Hey, Cole, this is Co.
What's up, man?
Oh, I'm recording your voice right now because I... All right. That was... dumb. Hey, thanks, Cole. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Take care.
It's good talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Call Ryan Poole.
Calling Ryan Poole Mobile.
Hi, you've reached Ryan Poole with Bird Rock Music and the Hideout Recording Studios. I'd love to know you call. Please leave a message.
Hey, just trying to surprise you with a phone call from the Flippin' Flippers podcast. But so don't call me back, I guess. Call Ice Jake Bro.
Calling Ice Jake Bro Mobile.
Hello, this is Jake. I'm unavailable at the moment, but just leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Hey, man. It's your bro. I was just calling to try and get some sort of random content for the podcast. So don't bother calling back. All right, bye.